Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, and welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral, and also a word of welcome to all our families and friends, our fellow Catholics who are following us through television, the radio, or internet. We gather as the family of faith. We thank God for His numerous blessings He bestowed on us. The opportunity to be here each and every week is a blessing in itself. We gather also to listen to God's word of wisdom. In today's gospel, Jesus reminds us to humble ourselves that we might be exalted in the sight of others. as we gather here and we prepare ourselves for this Eucharist, we humble ourselves by acknowledging our sins and ask God for forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, by whose gift your faithful offer you right and praiseworthy service, grant, we pray, that we may hasten without stumbling to receive the things you have promised. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Malachi. A great king am I, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you do not listen, if you do not lay it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and of your blessing I will make a curse. you have turned aside from the way and have caused many to falter by your instruction. You have made void the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. I, therefore, have made you contemptible and base before all the people. Since you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your decisions. Have we not all one Father? Has not the one God created us? Why then do we break faith with one another, violating the covenant of our fathers? The word of the Lord.
Busy not myself with great things, nor with things too sublime for me. In you, nay, rather, I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child. Like a weaned child on its mother's lap, so is my soul within me. In you, Israel, hope in the Lord, both now and forever. In you, O Lord, I have found my
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, we were gentle among you, as a nursing mother cares for her children. With such affection for you, we were determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very selves as well. So dearly beloved had you become to us. You recall, brothers and sisters, our toil and drudgery, working night and day in order not to burden any of you we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. And for this reason, we too give thanks to God unceasingly, that in receiving the word of God from hearing us, you received not a human word, but, as it truly is, the word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. The word of the Lord.
But one Father in heaven, and one Master, the Christ.
Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example, for they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one Father in heaven. Do not be called Master. You have but one Master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord.
The scriptures, as we know it, is always known as to be counterculture. And it's true, we hear Jesus oftentimes say things that it does not make sense in the secular world, where he called his disciples, he told them to take up their cross and follow him. It's not very pleasant to carry a cross. Maybe to jump in your luxury car and follow me, that's more like it. To leave your father and mother, if you don't do that, then you're not worthy of me. Again, we want to remain close to our families, at the same time following God. That would have been much better. Sell what you have, give away all your property, and then follow me. Again, wouldn't it be better if we just follow Jesus and carry all we have with him so that way it makes our life much more comfortable? And so today's gospel is the same. There are several points in there that's quite counterculture. For example, when Jesus reminds all of us that do not call anybody on earth your father, you have but one father in heaven. But we call our parents, of our daddy, father. I remember when I was a young priest, and after the Mass on Sunday, outside I was reading the people and shaking their hands, there was a middle-aged man came out, and he said, Reverend, I have something to ask you. That the dead giveaway right there, Reverend. And he said, I couldn't help but your parishioners call you father as they leave the church. But you just heard the gospel. Jesus said that you shall not call any father on earth your father, but you have but one father in heaven. Aren't they doing what is contrary to what Jesus is saying? And so I said to him that, well, let me ask you a few questions and then I'll answer yours. Are you not a Catholic, correct? He said, no, I'm a Protestant. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a minister. I said, wonderful. And I said, I suppose that you allowed to be married and have a family. He said, yeah, I'm married and have a family. You have children? Yes. I said, how many? Two. I said, I bet you they're precious. He said, yes, they are. I said, may I see the pictures? And he pulled out his billfold and all the pictures of his children. I said, oh, they're just precious. I bet you love them a lot. I said, yes. I said, and they love you? Yes. I said, what do they call you? He looked at me and he said, well, they call me daddy. I said, oh, come on, you can say the other word. It's not taboo. You can say it. And he said, well, they call me father. I said, why is that? When the Bible says that nobody can call any earthly father, father, how come yours do that? He said, well, I gave birth to them. Biologically, I gave birth to them. I said, that's good. I agree. They should call you father. Now, for me, when people give birth to their children and bring them to the church, they ask me to baptize them. Essentially, I become the spiritual father because I introduce that child into a new family of God. So you think they should call me father? And he looked at me and said, I guess so. And then he left. So what does Jesus really mean when he said that we should not call anybody on earth father, except the Father in heaven? What he's trying to say is that eventually and ultimately, we would have to place our priority. Remember last week when Jesus said, to love the Lord your God, meaning the Father in heaven, your God, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? That's what he means today. We have but one Father in heaven. If we place our trust in God the Father, then we have everything else beside. Earthly fathers, godfathers, as well. And so we have to remember to put the Lord your God first, then everything else will follow. That's what he means, to have but one Father in heaven. The other point of contention was when Jesus reminds us that whoever humbles himself will be exalted, but whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Now, we live in a culture where we are encouraged to toot our own horns. Tell people how good you are. In school, make sure that you are top of your class. Do you get that salutatorian where you can get to the prestigious college with the best of school. And hopefully you will graduate top of your school. That's how you toot your own horns. Telling people how good you are. In the workplace too, you have to tell your boss, even though you work hard, they know, but you have to tell them once in a while how good you are. That way you can be promoted and climb that corporate ladders. In the secular world, we are supposed to exalt ourselves. That way we can be exalted furthermore. But in the church, Jesus reminds us to humble ourselves that we might be exalted. Meaning that to keep a level head, even if we know we're good, keep a level head because there's always somebody better. There's a story of a monk who was promoted by the bishop to be the new abbot of a monastery. And the monk went to the monastery, but he dressed like incognito, dressed very shabbily, and his stature was kind of small, medium height. So when he got to the monastery, all the monks came out and they looked at him, and they were not impressed. Of course, he didn't tell them who he was. And so they sent him to work in the kitchen, KP duties, washing the pots and pans, mop the floor, shelling beans. He did that for a few weeks until the day when the bishop came to install him as a new abbot. And they had the table set and everything else. The food was cooking in the kitchen. And the abbot was nowhere to be found. Nobody knew who he was. So the bishop, along with all the monks, went around and looked for him, and they found him in the kitchen cooking supper for that night's festivity. The bishop seized the opportunity and he taught the monks a lesson in humility that would last them a lifetime. That abbot did what Jesus reprimanded the Pharisees today. They preached a wonderful homily, but they did not practice what they preach. When the deacons or priests or bishops are ordained, we are reminded of the words to believe what we read, preach what we believe, and practice what we preach. But the greatest criticism in the church is that priests and bishops and deacons, we don't practice what we preach. Perhaps we failed. We forget. At the same time, instead of label or levy criticism on the church, let us look into our lives and see where we are with the church too. And we look at Jesus instead. Don't look at the priests to be your heroes. We're not. Jesus should be our Lord, our God, and our heroes. Jesus was the humble person who not only preached wonderful, wonderful messages, but also he lived it. He was, still is, the second person of God, the most almighty, all-powerful, all-loving, who created the whole earth, all that's within it, and would hold it in his own palm. And yet, when the Father asked of him to come down to redeem us, he didn't come down to earth as a king, mighty in power with all the soldiers and servants and generals, or even as a great warrior. He came as a little baby who needs our care, our nurture, and our protection. And as he preached the gospel message, he was always among the poorest of the poor, among the tax collectors, the sinners, the orphans, the widows, the sick and the suffering. So he healed them all. He cured them along the way. But he always practices what he preaches. St. Paul, in today's second letter to the Thessalonians, he also reminded them that although he preached the gospel to them, but he never burdened them with the daily chores or daily of festivity. He worked as a tent maker to support himself, that way he might not be a burden to them, so that way he might be able to preach gospel to them free of charge. As parents, we too need to practice what we preach. Oftentimes we tell our children one thing and then we do another. Go to Mass on Sunday. We tell our children. We take them to Mass and then we drop them off and we drive off. And we pick them up an hour later. At a parish a long time ago, I witnessed that and I asked the children, I said, "Where are your parents?" "Well, they drove us off." I said, "Why don't they come in for Mass?" I said, "Well, they said they're too old for Mass. They don't need it anymore." If we want our children to become holy, to grow up to love God, and to have a love for the church, then we ourselves must show them. If we teach them to love God, they will certainly love you. If we fail that, they will not eat concerning you. And we want them to pray. Instead of just telling them to pray, teach them how to pray, and pray with them at night. Each night, we gather as a family to eat. Why not gather to be nourished spiritually too? I still have fond memories of my parents getting all the children to pray at night, although I hated it, but we did it. Every night we pray the rosary, but now I pray on my own. I don't have to have my parents to tell me anymore to pray the rosary. Feed the homeless. We always talk about our children should be more generous. If we want them to show generosity, take them to the soup kitchen. Take them to Mother Teresa's shelter. Just go there an hour a month, and you'd be surprised how good your children will turn out to be. I remember in Paris a long time ago, before 9/11 happened even, I sponsored a little orphanage in Mexico. And each month, we would go to Sam's and different places to buy supplies for the little children, you know, Pampers and food and all these things that they need. Then we would stock them into the trucks, 3 truckloads. I would invite families to come, families especially with children. We would go across the border and we would be with them a whole day, giving them the supplies and sitting there and holding them, hugging them and do all these things. And amazingly, the parents would come back and tell me, you know, Father, that trip was the best thing that ever happened to my family. We can preach until our face turned blue, but nothing. But that trip, my children has become the best. They realize how blessed they are and how much they have to give, and they want to give. We might be the only Bible, the only scriptures other people might ever read. So each day, each week, we must write chapters that continue in the Bible concerning the good words that we say, the kind deeds that we do. And I'd like to leave you with this last question. What will the scriptures according to you be like? Let us now stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit he was incarnate with the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us bring our hopes and prayers before the Lord our God, in whom we have found our peace.
For our church, may we live the gospel as well as we preach it. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
That world leaders and those in exalted positions fulfill their responsibilities with humility on behalf of those whose lives have been entrusted to them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For the wisdom and the will to work toward putting an end to gun violence in our community and in our nation, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those contemplating their vocation, for those who have chosen their vocation, for those who have been living out their vocation for years, for the grace of wisdom and perseverance, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the safety of all members of our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Frank Garza Jr., the deceased members of the Mew family, Lamarcus Spencer, deceased choir members, and Emilia C. Trujillo, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Now, my friends, for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For these are personal needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers. Almighty God, in you we have the one Father who has created us all. Look down with love on your creation and hear these our prayers, for we ask them through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept the sacrifice and hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good of all his holy church. May these sacrificial offerings, O Lord, become for you a pure oblation, and for us a holy outpouring of mercy, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for you so loved the world, that in your mercy you sent us the Redeemer, to live like us in all things but sin, so that you might love in us what you love in your Son, by whose obedience we have been restored to those gifts of yours, that by sinning we are lost in this obedience. And so, Lord, with all the angels and saints, we too give you thanks, as in such exhortation we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servants Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of your Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit. Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter into my room. Only say the word and my soul shall be healed.
The word that spoke and light was made. I am the seed that died to be reborn. I am the bread that comes from heaven above. I am the vine that fills your cup with joy. Leads the exile home. I am the truth that sets the captive free. I am the life that raises up the dead. I am your peace, true peace, my gift to you.
Blood.
am the cornerstone that God has laid, a chosen stone.
Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.